It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farrow. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, our guest has concerns about a Wisconsin school district's new personalized pathways program focusing on future careers.
First, in about a month, a new Republican-controlled Congress will be sworn in. After the most recent election, both the legislative and the executive branches will be led by the Republican Party. Last month, Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan was unanimously renominated by fellow Republicans for another term as Speaker of the House.
House Speaker Paul Ryan joins us now to talk about his legislative priorities heading into a new Congress. Speaker Ryan, welcome back to Central Time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Before we get to priorities facing Congress, let's start a little closer to home in Tomah. You and Senator Ron Johnson have expressed great concern about more problems at the Tomah VA facility. In this case, not the opioids, but mishandled equipment. What is your take on the ongoing problems there?
Well, what's so frustrating about this is Tomah has been under such a microscope, and yet they still have these terrible problems. We see persistent management failures here. And what is frustrating to myself and to Ron Johnson and others is lack of accountability at the VA writ large, but especially at Tomah. They cannot have the kind of discipline and management restructuring that is necessary to get this place whipped into shape. That is why we think we need to have more wholesale reform at the Veterans Administration so that they can really actually hold people accountable. And so that's what's so frustrating about all of this.
Is that one of your hopes for the upcoming administration and term in Congress?
It is. It's one of the things we're looking for in a new VA secretary, someone who can come in and clean out the organization, but also changing the law so that you can fire people who need to be fired and not just put them at the desk and reward them by not disciplining them. We need to hold people accountable. The bureaucracy is bloated, and it is inefficient and unaccountable, and we need to bring accountability to the VA so our veterans get the care that they deserve.
Turning to the bigger picture now, Republicans on both sides of Congress, a Republican president next year, your number one priority, day one?
Well, we've got a lot of number one priorities, I guess I'd say. The first we're going to do is start working on a budget. And in that budget, we're going to try and bring Obamacare relief. We will have a bridge or a transition period to make sure that people can get from the situation they're in, which is typically double-digit premium increases, extremely high deductibles, few choices, if any, to a better system that will replace Obamacare so that we can actually give people more choices, lower prices, so that everyone can get comprehensive quality health care regardless of whether you have a pre-existing condition or not. That's a really high priority. But also growing the economy, that's something that we're going to work on simultaneously. And two things that really kind of fit into this is cleaning up the regulatory state, which is really putting a chilling effect on job creation, and reforming your tax code to make American businesses, particularly our manufacturers, much more competitive globally so we can grow more jobs here at home and increase take-home pay and just get faster economic growth. We also have an infrastructure issue we want to address in that. We want to continue to rebuild our infrastructure. We've got a military problem, which is our military has been hollowed out quite a bit over the last few years. We need to address that as well. So as you can see, we have a full plate of issues revolving around economic growth, national security, and repealing and replacing Obamacare with something much better.
On the budget, from what you were just saying and what President-elect Trump has said, major revisions to the tax code, tax cuts for corporations and individuals, but increased spending on the military and infrastructure, so lower revenue, higher spending, doesn't that mean bigger annual deficits, a bigger overall debt burden?
Yeah, so we need to deal with the debt as well. So that means we need to have the right kind of spending reforms, spending cuts, but also when we're talking about taxes, we're going to close loopholes that make it so that we can then lower tax rates so we're more competitive. Less social engineering and special interest loopholes in the tax code placed in Washington in exchange for lower tax rates. That doesn't lower revenues. That actually gives us faster economic growth. And so what we are hoping to achieve is to make sure that we go through the budget and cut out wasteful spending, put our entitlement programs on a sustainable path in the future so that they don't create a debt crisis themselves, and get faster economic growth by stopping the special interest carve-outs in the tax code, cleaning up and simplifying our tax code so that we can tax our businesses at lower tax rates so that they're more on par with the rest of the world. What a lot of folks just don't realize is America we tax our businesses at much, much higher tax rates than our foreign competitors are taxing their businesses. And as a result, we're losing American jobs, we're losing American corporate headquarters, we're losing economic growth as a result, and we have to address that.
And then to the point of health care, we've seen talk not just about ending the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, but proposals from the incoming Department of Health and Human Services secretary, or the likely secretary, of changing Medicare, the Medicare we had in place already, funding vouchers, people have said, paying people, and then they find private insurance. Are you looking for wider changes to Medicare?
Yeah, no one's suggesting vouchers. That's really sort of a scare tactic. Right now, Medicare Advantage is a very popular program that seniors get to choose from among private plans for their comprehensive Medicare benefits. That's something seniors today enjoy. The federal employees get to choose among competing comprehensive private plans for their benefit so that they have more choices and lower prices. Those are the kinds of reforms that are being discussed for younger people. It's very important to note that any discussion of Medicare, those changes do not affect anyone in or near retirement. So anybody who's on Medicare today or about to go on Medicare is not a part of this conversation. It's really for people like in my generation, the X generation on down, where we're not going to have a Medicare program if we don't reform it for our generation for when we retire, because the Medicare trust fund goes bankrupt at the end of the next decade. We have to acknowledge that and prepare for it. And the sooner we do that, the more likely we can guarantee that no change occurs for people in or near retirement, and that the next generation, the people in their early 50s and 40s, will actually have a program for when they retire. So I think what you're hearing is what we call Medi-scare tactics, Medi-scare politics, suggesting that there's going to be some big benefit change for people who are already on the program. That's not in the cards. No one's discussing that. And I think that's sort of scare tactics 101 that's occurring today. But it's very important that we preserve this probably most important program. I put Medicare and Social Security up there on the top of the list of the most valuable and important programs we have in our country. And so we want to make sure that they work the best that they can possibly work and that they're solvent so people can continue to rely on these programs.
Talking to House Speaker Paul Ryan, Congressman from Wisconsin. I want to turn to the world stage, Speaker Ryan. A big international trend, more and more countries turning to some form of economic nationalism, retreating from global free trade, a lot of opposition to that, a rise of what people call strongman governments, autocratic governments. What do you want to see from the United States when it comes to world leadership, given these trends?
Yeah, I think that's a very astute observation, and I think that there is a lot of that occurring around the world. What I would like to see America do is lead the world in showing what a competitive, lean government looks like. What we ought to be doing is cleaning up our economic policy so that we are the best and that we can compete extremely well. Getting our regulatory state so that we have smart regulations. Getting our tax code in shape so that we are competitive. And showing the rest of the world what free enterprise and global leadership looks like. But being strong economically, we can be strong in every other sense of the word. Not just a strong person, but a strong country with healthy economy, with strong companies that are in America building, selling, exporting, and engaging in the world and pushing the values of freedom and free enterprise. That, to me, is what American leadership needs to look like, and there is never a time where it's as more important today than now, I think, given the kind of pressures you see coming from Russia and China and around the world.
Last week we talked to Richard Painter. He was an ethics counsel in the George W. Bush administration, the last Republican administration. He raised concerns about possible conflicts of interest for President-elect Trump, saying that if he doesn't divest himself from the Trump Organization, if he's, in effect, profiting from foreign powers, he would be in violation of the emoluments, I can't pronounce the word, clause in the Constitution. And he said that the House of Representatives would take the lead, need to take the lead in policing that, in effect. Is that something you're going to be watching for?
Yeah, well, of course we're going to do the kind of oversight that we're supposed to do as Article I powers of government. Separation of powers requires that the legislative branch of government conducts oversight over all aspects of the executive branch. And the second point I would make is we have a incoming president who is an extremely successful businessman. That's kind of new for us. Typically, we elect a senator or a governor or someone like that. So this is just going to take some adjustment, which is you have a very successful businessman who is coming into the White House. I have every bit of confidence that he's going to properly divest himself and remove himself from his business affairs as he enters the Oval Office and transfer his business onto, I assume, his children or whatever he's going to do. But I have every bit of confidence that he will successfully remove himself from his business affairs as he enters this new stage.
And finally, coming out of the elections, once again, we see we're a pretty divided country, pretty divided state here in Wisconsin, along partisan lines, not just partisan lines either. What are your hopes for bipartisan, if not cooperation, civility at the least?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. We are a bitterly divided country. In Wisconsin, we know this. I mean, we've had some pretty ugly, tough elections, this one and the last few. My hope is that we focus on results and goals. We disagree often, vigorously, on how to achieve a goal. But do we want to get people out of poverty? Do we want faster economic growth? Do we want the debt to be taken care of? Do we want to be safe and secure? Yes, we do. We all want that. Liberal progressives and conservatives want that. So we will vigorously disagree with each other on the means to achieve these shared goals. So let's put it all in perspective. Treat each other well with civility and focus on outcomes and results. And that, to me, is kind of where my emphasis is going to be, focusing on the result we are trying to achieve on behalf of everyone in this country. And that is, in my opinion, the best way to proceed so that we can try to heal our country, bring some civil discourse back to our politics, which has been lacking very clearly, so that we can focus on shared goals and outcomes for our country and our fellow citizens.
We'll leave it there for now. Speaker Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet, Rob. Have a good one.
That was House Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican congressman from Wisconsin's 1st District, which includes Janesville. He joined us to talk about his legislative priorities heading into a new session of Congress.